every once in a while, Bill gets his time off, and so we get to fill in. So this morning, you got to put up with me this morning. So I've taught some Sunday school classes, and I've taught Bible studies, but this is the first time I've ever got to do this, which is stand up and preach. So does that make me a preacher? I'm a teacher's preacher? Okay. All right, well, if we get started here, if there is a watchmaker and a car maker, then there's got to be a people maker. So God is a people maker. He made this world and he made the universe, and it's a plan there that he made. And if he made this great plan, he put you in the plan. So if you're in the plan, it's a wonderful plan that you're in. A lot of people, we know that Jeremiah 29:11, that's a famous verse, and it says, "For I know the thoughts that I have for you, that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." So if God, all right, I forgot the blast. All the blast kids, if you want to go back here in the back. Like I said, we all know that what that verse is. It's a lot of favorite verses for people. We need to figure out a plan in our life. It could be your job. It could be a hobby. It could be something, but figure out a plan and put God in that plan. My favorite verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it gives us some steps and guidelines on how to put a good plan together, put a good, put your life together. It's a good steps. I know I was, a lot of times I sign Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 on cards, like graduation cards or something like that. It's probably one of my favorite. Hopefully that they will look it up. If they don't know it, they will look it up and read it. I was at Wally's in Breeze. And in Wally's, on his board, he's got a signed picture of Elvis Presley. And on that, he's got Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So I thought it's kind of neat that I share some interest with Elvis Presley. Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6 is a passage with three prerequisites in it, which means if you do this, this, and this, there's a promise at the end that tells you, that gives you a promise. We can turn to Proverbs 3. If you picked up one of these this morning on the back, you can maybe follow along a little bit on the back. Thanks for Bill for putting this together. But Proverbs 3, a little side note here, it's actually the chapter itself is a health chapter. In it you will find stuff that says, for the length of days and long life and peace will be added to you. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Happy are the ones who retain her. So they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck, and then you will walk safely in the way. It's actually a health chapter. Read it for good health. Follow it for good health. But anyway, the verse that I'm going to go with, like I said, is my favorite. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the ones that come here today and come here to worship with you. Father, I submit this service to you and the ones that are here. I pray, Lord, that you open our eyes and our ears to understand. And I pray, Lord, that you send up special blessings on the ones that are here today and the ones that are watching online. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, point number one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust is not it's not a simple belief, but it's to put your belief into action, is to trust him, okay? Webster's Dictionary says, for believe and trust, believe is to consider to be true or honest. That's belief. Trust is a reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. Psalms 118, verse 8, which is the center verse of the Bible, It's center. It says, it is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. So it is better to rely on the character and ability of God to trust him than to do it with man. So I got a question for you. Can you believe something and not trust in it? Can you believe something and not trust in it? Can you trust something but you don't believe in it? To believe, you know, we can believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and he had a plan of redemption. The most famous verse is John 3:16, which is, you see that everywhere. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Now, we can believe that. It's a simple belief. Because why? Because, I mean, us as believers, we think it's simple. Maybe atheists don't, but we think it's simple for the simple fact is that history tells us that Jesus walked this earth. He walked it. We can see that the tomb is empty. Our time is actually done. It's the year of our Lord, 2021. So time changed. So we know that Christ actually walked this earth. So trusting moves us into action to put our lives into God's hands or his plan. So whatever plan you might have, your job, hobby, or whatever you do, put God in it, and he will guide you through that. I have a little video to show. Run them both. Well, if you didn't know, that was me. I like flying airplanes. How many believe by seeing that, they can believe that I can fly airplanes, you know? You can maybe come out to the house. You can go out to the house and watch me fly. So you can believe. So it's a simple belief to see that I can do it. But can you trust me? Of my training and my ability, can you trust me? And trusting is what I'm saying. I see someone shaking her head, no. But can you trust me? And trusting is getting in the airplane and flying with me, okay? That's doing something, that's putting your trust into action, is getting in and flying with me. Show some pictures up here. We should have three pictures of some trust. Oh, here's another one of me. So trust in the Lord. Look at there. There's someone who put their trust in me. Andrea. look how little Olivia is there. These pictures were taken back in 2013, I think. One where there's Steve. But anyway, I know some people in this room have flown with me, so they have put their trust in me. My father-in-law, I always said that there's always, there's a verse for everything in the Bible, okay? And my father-in-law, he will not fly an airplane with me, and he uses the verse, which is found in Matthew 28:20. It says, "Lo, I am with you always." So he said, if it was... "Hi, I'm with you always. I would go with you, but so I guess that's a good excuse not to fly." Thinking people believe in God, but do they trust him with their lives? They believe in him, but will they take it to a commitment and turn their lives over to him with 100%? Point two, lean not on your own understanding. Okay, show the picture of the cockpit. That right there is a picture of a 172. It's a smaller airplane. It's not like the big Boeing that you fly on, but this is a small one. And several gauges on here. What they are is they're, this is considered an IFR qualified airplane. So there's gauges on here that will back each other up, that will tell you if you're flying straight and level, if you're flying at a bank or whatever. So that's what they use when they're adverse conditions, whenever you can't see the horizon. Myself, I've got what they call is a VFR, which is a visual flight rule, which I have to be able to see the horizon. I've got to stay clear of clouds, and I've got to take and have visibility of at least 3 miles. I don't like flying like this, because this here you're watching only, you can't see nothing outside, you're paying attention to your instruments. So an IFR, that's what this is called, IFR, which is instrument flight rule. That's where you rely on your instruments. But there's something called vertigo. Vertigo is something that gets your inner ear messed up, and you might think that you're flying straight and level, but you're not. You're, in your mind, you're thinking you're diving the airplane, you're climbing, you're a bank, but vertigo just messes your inner ear up. So what a pilot has to do is he has to rely on his instruments to keep everything level, straight and flying, so that you know you're flying in the right direction, you're right heading and stuff. But you have to, the vertigo will kill a pilot and kill everybody on board if it's not overrode, because a lot of times in your understanding of the thing is, of the plane, is that it's diving, but it's not. So they pull back. The plane might raise up and stall and bank into the ground, and that's what usually kills people. So you have to rely on your instruments. I know some famous people like Governor Carnahan of Missouri. He died. They think he died the same way. John F. Kennedy was the other one that they said probably died that way. And they say some of the things that people will say in the very last, these pilots, they will say, there's something wrong with my gauges. That's an indication that they got vertigo and that they're messing up. But they'll say, there's something wrong with my gauges, and they will rely it back to the tower or the radio, and that's an indication that fly your instruments, you know. But there's not. That needs to be overrode and concentrate on your instruments. Like your instruments, you have to rely on God for his understanding and not your own. Because you see, God is in a position to see more than what we can understand. He's actually, when everything might feel right, or it might look right, or it might even, everything might be right, but it's not. Your plane might be banking. But God sees the big picture here. So remember, we've got to rely on God. How can we get a better understanding of God? That is to know him. Get to know him. Psalms 119:11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Jeremiah 9:24 says, you can turn to these if you want to, but I got them written down here, so make it a little easier. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, righteousness on the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Another little story as far as understanding and knowing. I had a friend of mine who, he's taught me a lot of flying. He's an instructor and stuff. But he's told me one day, or in my airplane, I've got floats for gauges as gas. Well, the gas was coming down. I had them feeding both tanks at the same time, so they were all coming down together. And we were getting low, and he said, I'm going to teach you some fuel management. Okay. So he took and said, what we're going to do is we're going to turn off the auxiliary tank, and we're going to fly the main tank till the engine dies. And then you flip on the other side, and we'll take a time. And whatever time, 45 minutes or so, once the engine dies, that's what you have remaining left. Well, this didn't settle too good with me, because we're going to fly till the engine dies. And I'm like, I'm nervous. You know, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm flying along. And I tell him, I said, Alfred, I don't think this makes much sense. This don't make sense. He goes, what do you mean? I said, we're going to fly till the engine dies. He goes, yes, we are. I said, okay. I said, Alfred, I'm putting all my trust in you that this thing is going to start again, because this don't seem like a good idea. Well, we're flying along. Sure enough, the engine dies. And he says, as long as that propeller is turning, the engine will start. Engine died. I reached down, flipped on the other engine, started right up, and away we went. I had that much time left. But you see, that's what I'm saying. Our understanding sometimes is not what someone else's is, or it's not what God's is. Before a pilot even starts his day, what he does is he walks around the airplane at a point and just walks all the way around the airplane, and he does what they call a checklist. And he holds a piece of paper in hand and checks right along with what the plane is, what's happening on the plane, what he sees with the plane. So you do a checklist. Before he flights, he does a little checklist. So you know what, if there's something wrong, you can get it fixed. Same in life. That's what God's word is. Know God's word for a checklist for your life or your plan for your job or what you want to do. Know the word for a checklist. Point three. In all your ways, acknowledge him. To acknowledge him is to know him. Okay? The opposite of knowing is ignoring. And we don't want to ignore God. We want to know God. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Philippians 4:6 says, let your request be known to God. So what you want to do is know God. Get to know God by acknowledging him in his word. Take a moment to bring God into your plan. Invite him into your life, your job, your hobby. Get him involved with your plan. Remember Jeremiah 29:11, because for I know the thoughts I think of toward you, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Psalms 37:3-5, and this is what it says. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Acknowledge God by putting him into your plan and by getting to know him. Stick God in everything that you do in life. And just get God involved in your plan. I don't know if I put acknowledge on there. Yep. There we go. So if we do these three things, that's what God was saying in this passage here. If we do these three things, God says that he will direct our paths. That's his promise. His promise that he will direct us. If we trust in God, trust in the airplane, in your plane, okay? Lean not on his understanding. We got to rely on your instruments. Rely on God. Acknowledge him by bringing him into your plan. God's promise is that he's going to guide you. God doesn't promise to reveal a detailed plan. Most time your plan, it's not detailed, but he does promise that he's going to take your plan and he's going to be with you with your plan and that he will direct your path. Direct, when he says he's going to direct your path, it is a, it means to make straight, okay? God says your path, you know, your path could be windy, but God says if you do these things, he's going to direct your path, make your path straight. He's going to make it right. He's going to, what's fallen down, he's going to move it upright. That's what direct is going to be. So God says if you do these three things, that he will direct your path. So doing this, we will be in God's will. And isn't that where everybody wants to be anyway? We want to be in God's will, right? I know it was fast, but that's all I have. So I was going to turn this over to JC, who is going to do the communion this morning.
Thank you, Dale. Praise the Lord for those. I didn't think about the vertigo stuff before. That was pretty good analogy of how we should follow the Spirit. And I fly a lot, so you actually scared me a few times now too. We're gonna celebrate the Lord's Supper. A few weeks we're celebrating Easter. A few thoughts here before we have the Lord's Supper. I'm going to read some verses, and then we're going to come through. You can grab a grape and grab a cracker, and then when I see that everybody's through, I'll come back up here and lead us in prayer. But a few thoughts before I read this. This is for Christians, and Family Bible invites anybody who proclaims Christ to join us in this supper. Those online, if you didn't get a packet, please let us know, email the church, and we'll make sure and get you one next month. This Lord's Supper doesn't give you any salvation. This is an ordinance that's a privilege and a blessing. And as we're going to read these verses, we examine ourselves as Christians on this. This is one of those times where maybe it's okay for a Christian to skip this if you're struggling with things. This is a celebration of what Christ did, but it's also a period to examine ourselves. So I'm going to read these verses, and then I think Drew's going to play us some music, and we'll come through. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Amen.